time is.
It's Pastor Adam's podcast.
Good day, everybody. Pastor Adam here with your weekly Wednesday devotional podcast. First thing I want to do today is shed a little light on a problem that I currently have. It's a big problem. A problem I don't see an easy answer for. Here it is. The problem is barbecue potato chips. Now, I do like me some good, you know, barbecue potato chips. I want good quality chips, right? I found the greatest barbecue chips ever within the last 5 years, and they are Clancy's hot barbecue chips, and they're found at Aldi, and they're supposedly seasonal. But the big problem is they're rarely available. Every season you'd think they're like, so every once a year, that's not even the case. I had them about 2-3 years ago. Loved them. Got one bag because obviously I'd never had them before. Loved it. Went back. Nothing. Years later, I finally got them again, like a couple months back. I bought 3 bags. And I would have bought 10 to 15 bags if I could have. But I bought all that they had there, which was 3 bags that were left. Because I think I'm not the only one who loves these chips. You know, the people hear that they're there, right? So, I haven't been able to have them since I finished those 3 bags months ago. Since then, and a little bit more recently, I had a hankering for those hot barbecue chips. Really want them. So, my latest quest has been to find some suitable replacements that, you know, I can munch on while watching TV or whatever. And here's the thing, I have tried a bunch, but nothing is, you know, filling that hole in my heart that those hot barbecue chips from Clancy's have. Now, the closest I've been able to find is just this past week, I found Ruffles Flaming Hot Barbecue Chips. But while it does have, you know, the little bit of heat that I'm looking for, it has little to no barbecue flavor. So, kind of a bummer to me. But I don't want you to get wrapped up in the heat. That's not the end-all be-all. You know, if I found some good, straight-up, regular barbecue-flavored chips, I'd be cool with that, too. For instance, here's something crazy. So if I were to go to, say, a Subway, I would get, you know, my sub, and then they have the chips there, and I would always get the baked Lay's barbecue chips because I like them, right? They're good. But here's the rub. Here's where you know, the only reason I like those baked Lay's is because I've always gotten them in those little mini sizes, those little bags. And after you eat a mini package, you know, and you move on to, you know, like the big bag where you have more than a few bites of it, you find out there ain't much flavor in there. And I know that because I did get the full size, started eating them, and I'm like, there's just not a lot of flavor, not a lot of barbecue flavor. It's pretty bland, man. That's what I'm saying. Then since I loved the Clancy's hot barbecue chips from Aldi, I figured, hey, let's try to get Clancy's other barbecue chips, you know, the regular ones. And those tasted like, you know, because they have a lot of knockoffs. So they got the baked Lay's knockoff from Clancy's. I got that, and it tasted like lightly seasoned barbecue cardboard. It was terrible. Not good. Made it half a bag, threw it out. Then Clancy's straight up regular barbecue chips, they're kind of like Lay's regular barbecue chips. They're kind of, you know, meh. You know, mid, as the kids would say now. It's just like the texture is not my favorite. A little too thin, if I'm being honest. And flavor is, I ask myself, like, are they even trying? So needless to say, the Lay's or the Clancy's Lay style chips, they ain't where it's at for me for the barbecue chips, in this humble man's opinion. Although the Clancy's hot barbecue ones that I love are a little more in line with the Lay's texture, but for some reason that hot barbecue has it's a little more structure to them. I don't know. Chip seems a little more sturdy. That's what I can say. But then we can move on to, so since I've tried a bunch of these other ones, there's the Kettle Chips, right? Cape Cod, Kettle Company, Miss Vicky's. But here's the thing. I'm just not really the kettle guy. I'm not that kettle barbecue chip type of guy. It's way harder chip. They have a distinct kettle flavor that's just not for me. So my last hope, really, I was thinking, was the Ruffles Smokehouse Barbecue. But I feel like I've had them at one point and never really thought twice about it, so that can't be a good sign. Or I saw that Lay's has a wavy barbecue. Maybe that has a little more structure. But again, the flavor of the regular Lay's isn't the greatest, so I don't have high hopes on that. I don't know. I'm open to some suggestions. Maybe I need to start making my own barbecue chips, but that just seems like a whole lot of work. And I don't even know if I could pull that off, you know, and would it be worth it? Probably not. But actually, you know what I did last night? You don't know what I did last night, but I'm going to tell you. I told Lauren, because I had this epiphany that came upon me. I said, when you get groceries again, get me the Ruffles Flamin' Hot Barbecue, which I just had, which I said doesn't have a lot of barbecue flavor, but it has that heat. And also get the Ruffles Smokehouse Chips. And then what I'm going to do, I'm going to combine them together, mix them all up together, and then hopefully I get that barbecue flavor with that heat. It could be a genius move on my part. I'll let you know how it goes next week. So I'm going to leave you kind of on a cliffhanger or a to be continued. But tune in next week and you'll get the exciting results. And it's going to be exciting, I'm sure of it. So yeah. That's my dilemma to begin with. But I bring this all to your attention for the following reason. Number one, because this is a serious conundrum that I have involving barbecue potato chips. But also, number two, and most importantly, I ask all of us, my listening audience, are we being as picky, like I am with barbecue chips, with the church? You know, are we looking for that perfect church? With all the bells and whistles and all the shiny programs and ministries that we want, that, spoiler alert, it doesn't really exist. Are we looking for that? Now, I know a lot of people who listen to this attend my church, you know, this podcast, you're going, you see me every week. I would like you to still continue to listen today as I talk about this topic, because I think there's some valuable information in what I have that I'm going to share. But I also want to also target, you know, the people who are never really content with the church, always looking for the right church with the perfect programs and the best pastor, all that thing. But first, let's read the scripture from 1 Corinthians. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So we are the church, we're a part of it, this is a body, and we are all important parts of this thing. Now, it's pretty common, especially for those who are in seasons of transition, or maybe spiritual disillusionment, where you're struggling or disappointed or upset with your current situation or church. And you might say, I'm just looking for the right church, the one that gets it, or the one that gets me, or the one that's not full of problems. But here's we're going to call it a gentle truth, and I'm going to wrap it in grace. You're never going to find that perfect church, because churches are made up of people and people are imperfect. And I know you've probably heard that before, and I know I'm not the first one who came up with that. I'm not going to claim it, but I'm just saying it's true. Churches are made up of people. People are imperfect. But think of this. When we look at the early church, it wasn't perfect either. I mean, just read Paul's letters that he sent out. The Corinthians struggled with division, immorality, pride. The Galatians were getting tangled in legalism. The Thessalonians were confused about the return of Christ. Yet Paul, he didn't abandon them or their fellowship or start fresh somewhere else. He didn't fire everybody. He didn't choose to close the doors of any of these churches. He doesn't write these letters. He doesn't say, well, these churches aren't doing so well, so let me just go somewhere and start the perfect church. He doesn't do any of that. No. Instead, he encourages them to grow together. He corrects them. He teaches them. And he tells them to remain united in Christ. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." Part of being the body of Christ is learning to love the church, not for what it is perfectly, but for what Christ is doing within it. Church is not some showroom of spiritual perfection. And here's another phrase you've probably heard. It's a hospital for the broken, or a workshop of discipleship in a family learning to live in grace. We're learning to live in grace. When we constantly move from one church to another because of imperfections, we risk becoming spiritual consumers rather than contributors. We miss the beauty of staying rooted or building relationships, of serving even when it's hard, and of being, you know, shaped in the community. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Let's not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." So here's the main point of this message, really, if I had to break it down to one thing. God never called us to attend a perfect church. He calls us to be faithful in community, humble in heart, and full of grace towards one another. The church may not be perfect, and I know it's not. I mean, I work in one. I know that it's not. I've never been to a perfect church. I've never heard of a perfect church. I've never had a glimpse of a perfect church. But the church is God's chosen vessel to carry the gospel, to disciple believers, and reflect the love of Christ to the world. I want to go back. I mentioned those churches that Paul wrote the letters to. They were a mess at times. But if it wasn't for those, you know, messy, sometimes dysfunctional, sometimes heretical churches, you know, we wouldn't have the church that we're at today. Now, compare your problems that you have in your church right now with what they had going on back in the early church. The church in Rome had a major issue with division between Jewish and Gentile believers. What does that mean? It means there is discrimination in the church. Now, let that happen nowadays at a church. See what happens. Have discrimination in a church? Someone's like, "Oh, do you know about that church? Yeah, they discriminate against people." You have an empty church in a week. The church in Corinth had, you know, division and factions within it. You find that in 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 17. They had sexual immorality. So that's 1 Corinthians 5. And by the way, if there's so much sexual immorality that Paul has to address it, you know, to the entire church and teach against it, you had some freaky stuff going on, and the whole church knows about it because it got back to Paul, who's not even there. He's in some other land. We're talking, there were some ditty parties back in the early church happening, and that's crazy. And also, what if you were one of the people that were involved in the sexual immorality, and now it's written in scripture for thousands of years of people, millions of people reading? That's embarrassing. Crazy. What else did the church in Corinth have going on? Lawsuits between believers. That's in 1 Corinthians 6. So church members going after one another. Crazy. Abuse of spiritual gifts and a chaotic worship. That's 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. They didn't even really understand resurrection. And that's in 1 Corinthians 15. And on top of all of that, on top of all these things that's going on in that church, they turn on Paul and question his authority, his apostleship. They were influenced by false prophets, or we could say today, you know, the world. Let you walk, go walk into a church with all those problems that Corinth had and tell me your church is worse than what you find somewhere else, right? So we can't leave out the Church of Colossae, where, oh yeah, they had heretical teaching and they even undermined the supremacy of Christ. So yeah, the early churches were a mess at some times, but without them, we don't have the church as we have it today. People had to stick around and help those churches, grow with those churches, lead those churches, even though those churches were sometimes a problem. God knew what he was doing by placing those people in those churches. He knew what he was doing when he made them. He knew the problems and that the issues that would arise. Yet he still used those people and those churches to do amazing things. So instead of searching endlessly for the perfect church, ask God to help you plant roots where he's placed you. Be part of the solution. Be a bringer of peace, a restorer of unity, a model of grace. Make your church home, make your church a home, not because it's flawless, because we know that it's not, but because you're committed to growing in Christ with others who are on that same journey. So as I wrap this up, I want you to ask yourself, am I expecting my church to meet needs that only Christ can fulfill? Ask yourself, can I contribute to the health and unity of my local church family? Is there someone in my church I need to forgive or encourage today? Peter 4:8 said, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. So I'm going to end with this. Let your love and your forgiveness be louder than your disappointment. And you'll find a church that, while imperfect, is exactly where God can grow you. So that's what I have for you today. That was what's on my heart. So I hope you had an enjoyable experience hearing me talk about all this. Hopefully nobody's offended or upset and mad or whatever. But then at the same time, I don't really care. You can get over it. You have a good one, and I'll see you next Wednesday.